Hi, everybody. It's Katie with Johnny Like Sink or Swim. And today we have a fantastic topic, the Genovese family. We're blessed to have Anthony Arletta from Springfield, Mass with us. And I know I talked to each of you earlier today. Did you get your workouts in?
Yes,
Yeah.
we did. We
All
both.
right, good. I did too. So that's good. Okay. So, John, I know you've had a busy day like the rest of us, but something really different happened today. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, we were contacted by email by the White House press, independent press, that is writing articles about the recent Donald Trump, our ex-president, that I speak highly of. I have a lot of respect. In my opinion, he's been the best president this country's seen since Ronald Reagan. People say I'm a conservative. I'm really not a conservative. I'm an independent. I believe in individual freedoms. I believe in gay rights. I believe in transgenderism. I believe in LGBTQ. I believe in anybody could do what they want with their personal life. An extension of that, I disagree with when we're pushing agendas on individual peoples, and whether it's the word we can't talk about medically, that a lot of people are passing away, unbelievable amount of young people, and what's going on here, and people are scared to talk about it. That's not America. But they contacted me about a picture that Donald Trump was, they printed it. He was with the boss or ex-boss of Philadelphia, Joey Molino. I don't know what his standard is with the mob. And they wrote about it, commented about it, and then obviously it came to me that he's in pictures with me. And I'm at Mar-a-Lago. So what I have to say is I'm 15 years basically removed from the mafia. I do positive things. Loretta Lynch was a Democrat who wrote a letter about me changing my life when I saved the Veterans Guard's life, possibly in jail. He wrote a letter for me also when a couple inmates tried to jump him. So my life changed a long time ago. I do talks at colleges, high schools, second chance programs, and inner cities. And my belief isn't Democrat, Republican, independent. It's about saving kids' lives in my inner city where I grew up. And when someone's questioning why I'm taking pictures with Donald Trump, if he knows me, these are ridiculous, in my opinion, ridiculous questions. I'm an individual that Donald Trump and all the politicians on both sides advocated for prison reform. And I'm the poster child of that. Changed my life. And I work with all kinds of organizations, do talks with FBI, ex-FBI, police academies, chief of police, and colleges around the world, not just here. So I advocate for peace, not violence. And I advocate for kids to have a good future. So it doesn't matter who I used to be, it's who I am the last decade plus. So if Donald Trump knows it's me or not, it's impossible for him to vet every person that talks to him and takes pictures with him. No different than me. I guess, and I hate to use that word, I'm a celebrity, I guess. I'm in movies, I'm in magazines, I'm on talk shows, I'm on 60 Minutes, I'm on 2020, I'm on every show you can imagine, Today Show. So I'm very public, and I take pictures every day too. Who knows who we're taking pictures with? It's humbling when people ask for pictures. He's a gentleman. He doesn't look down on anybody. He's always saying yes to pictures. So people are in photo ops. Does he know some of them? Maybe. Does he? Maybe not. Who knows? You're not questioning the president and saying, "Do you know who I am?" And is there's nothing nefarious about it. And again, I do. I advocate for kids, and I'm on television every day. So I'm not the person from 20 years ago.
Right. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Got a different life, different world, and hopefully I'll
and
make a difference.
just talking about the Genovese family and Angelo Frisco, they're somebody who really didn't change his life and he ended up dying in prison, correct?
Correct. And the good thing about having somebody like Anthony Arilato on, he had that same position. He was a captain in Genovese family. And Anthony, you could talk more about, what does that life bring us besides pain, suffering, jails, and losing your family and dying alone in prison like Angelo Prisco, who was a gangster's gangster? He was a true gangster. He went to prison. He was involved in several cases, high televised cases. One with McGreevy, that was the politician here in Jersey. He had a connection with him. Louis Arricchio, who was one of the shooters of John DiGilio on the waterfront of Bayonne. He killed him. He was my cellmate. Louis passed away. Rest in peace to him. Tough guy, gangster. And he was good friends with Johnny Lito, Johnny Balls, who ends up being a cooperator against Angelo Prisco and puts him in jail. Now, Johnny Lito, I know him since he's a kid. He stayed with my distant cousins, Nicky and Patty. Nicky, I ended up shooting years ago. He lost his leg. And Patty ended up, when we were kids, get shot by an off-duty police officer in the face and survived. Later on, Nicky and Johnny Lito became partners in a drug business up in Forest Park. And Johnny Lito ends up testifying in several cases. One of them was the Angelo Prisco. He was also involved with another guy called Karate Andrew, who was a tough guy. Later on becomes a made guy in the Gambino family. So these guys were involved with each other, interacting. Angelo Prisco is involved with these guys in different levels. And Angelo Prisco eventually goes to jail and convicted of murders and different cases, and he dies in prison, like you said. Andrew was also involved and married a girl that was involved with the Stabiles and had a baby with the Stabiles, were involved with Goodfellas, just to give people the background to some of these people. And Joey Stabile ends up getting murdered and set up by Joe O'Kane, who was setting up his good friend over some personal disputes with family Joe Stabile had, and somehow Joe O'Kane got involved in it, set him up. Later on, Joe O'Kane gets killed in Kane prison. He gets stabbed up by his cellmate. So this is the life of the mafia, really. The treachery, the murders, setting up your best friends, going to jail. And for the people that don't know, Johnny Lito actually dated at one time Angelo Prisco's daughter. So when Angelo Prisco goes to jail, Johnny Lito, who got involved with me in the construction industry, ends up taking over the waterfront in North Jersey. Left Rack is a big company that was doing business with the West Side, the Genovese family that Anthony Aralatas was a member of and a captain of. And they also had another company, A&D, and Johnny Lito took it all over, and the Genovese family does nothing about it. And I'm not advocating, I said this before, but I'm not hurting him, killing him, or anything else. But how does somebody that cooperates against one of their strongest captains in the Genovese family, the cooperator, go over in their backyard and take over the construction industry? Anthony, how do they do that? And nobody does anything to help Angelo. So Anthony, what's your take on Angelo Prisco and why they don't do anything for a guy that was a loyal gangster? He's done, I don't know how many years in prisons, but a couple of dozen, I believe, overall, and then he passes away. And the guys that are testifying against him just take over the waterfront like they're members of another family and gangsters and killers. How does that happen?
Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
If they're trying to say that the mafia is respected and still the same as it used to be.
Yeah. remember when he was in Jersey, when he came home, there was a with him coming back out to his rackets that he had going on before he went away, his crew, and there was all kinds of issues with him when he got out of prison, and I think it was the early 2000s. Why he had those issues, I both know what they do. You know, when we go to prison, they look to take your rackets, money, take your woman, take your businesses, take anything that they can get their hands on. Maybe if you're lucky, you might get a crumb out of that. If you have guys, which they're not going to go back then, go to war with them. So that's the things that they do. They don't look out for your family. They don't pay anything for your legal bill. And they'll leave you. And, you know, that aspect with him is how they treat everybody in that. Total disrespect all the way around. Not part of whatever. Them after your family got a hot wife, you'll have some, you know, make a move on your wife. If you have a girlfriend, those are the grimy things they do and they're a part of. With Angelo, he's just another example. you know, of that lifestyle. Get caught.
That's the problem I have when I talk honestly and I tell kids, if you buy into the loyalty of that life, a guy like Angelo never did anything wrong in that life. When, you know, in the rules of that life, Angelo, when he needed to kill, he actually killed and got involved in the killings. He wasn't a sit back captain. He got involved and he went on those rides. He was also an earner. He was a guy that was well respected within the Genovese family. So he didn't do anything that would cause the family to disown him when he goes to prison, but yet they disowned him. They threw him away. They discarded him. They didn't take care of him financially. They let the guys, you know, he's got to be fuming, locked up in those cells and solitary confinement at one time. He was up in the MCC up in a hole, and knowing while he's sitting there, the guys that gave him up are getting filthy rich. Sure. And they're walking around the streets and they took over his industry. And these are the guys that answered, didn't work for him, went out with his daughter and completely abused him every which way. And his family, right? Your family was supposed to be one of the strongest families, if not the strongest family in New York, did nothing about it to protect his interest, his family, his reputation, and him taking a life sentence on the chin. So yep. When people say, you know, and this is why I say, a guy like him, you're not the, you know, he died in jail, but guys like him are the reasons why guys flip. Now, who's the rat, really? So yep. When they're talking about rats, let's be realistic.
Yeah. Well, hey, the rackets that you're talking about, they built him his back. He's the one that produced those money-making schemes out in the streets that they took from him and gave him nothing. And, you know, the thing was loyal to him. I know that it was a great relationship. You know, this is an example of you could be in favor of a boss. When that boss leaves, as someone else comes in, different crew, different faction, he might not have that same feelings as the old boss did. And that's a prime example of what happened to him. You know, they took away his rack. He had to come out and question. Well, first of all, everything should have been while he was, you know, doing his thing. So all of that, regardless, he shouldn't have to come out and wonder if he's going to get flipped, he's going to get killed after the first was loyal to the all those years, went to prison like he was supposed to, and he shouldn't have to worry about going to worry about if he was going to get killed. Yeah. That's a given. Yeah,
I have to interject here because both of you talk about, you know, the personal end of the sacrifices that happen when you're in prison. And when I was reading about Angelo, and it said that, you know, he was only in prison for 12 years and people were upset about that. And I'm on the outside sitting here thinking, that's a very long time. If you think 12 years is not a long time, I'm just stunned by that because it's just a long time to not be with your family. And
yeah. he was in jail 12 years on one case. He had several cases. Right. So when they're talking about the 12 years, I'm not sure what case they're talking about. On his life case, he got a life sentence, and I don't know how many years he was in. I know he was in the mid-2000s when I was in prison, and I know he went to solitary confinement. I know even in prison, he went after a guy that was in solitary confinement that was cooperating. And he tried to get after the guy. And he's an older fella at the time. And the guy he went after was actually a fairly big guy, Peter Sicara. So the people that know Peter Sicara was involved in several homicides, whether he was a shooter or not, he was there. He was involved with a lot of guys from Brooklyn and the Queens faction. So he was a street guy. Angela didn't pick and choose when he went after somebody. He tried to go after him nonstop when he was in solitary confinement with him. So the guy stayed true to the code of that life, and that's what it got him. It got him absolutely zero. No one said, wow, you know, no one talks about him. No one says, wow, this is a stand-up guy. They got rid of him. He was a nothing to them. He was just an old man that couldn't do anything for him. He got a life sentence. He was useless to them. So let's screw him over, let him die alone, let him die broke. Let's take his money that he earned, like Anthony said, on his own back. He didn't take it off somebody else. It was his hard work over the years of street crime and sacrifice to allow a guy that comes in, and the guy testified on him that never got caught. John Alito got caught in a marijuana scheme. He only got about 6 or 7 years. And he thought to himself, well, I might as well rat on him now just in case this comes up later on. So I'll bring it up now and try to get it run concurrent with my 7-year marijuana sentence. So even it's even another slap in the face. It's not even like this guy got pinched doing something else. He just wanted to hedge his bets and say, I might as well dump this case now and give up this guy while I can and take a sweetheart deal, which he did.
Yeah. And he was a gangster, a capable gangster, capable of violence. You know, he had a crew with him. I think he was born in Jersey, running the crew for the Genovese family of Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, he was a North Jersey guy, and they were running the waterfront up in Jersey City. That was his area. He's the one that had was involved with Louis Riccio for the hit of DiGiulio. So he had these guys under his wing. Louis was also around other guys, but Angelo was involved. I mean, like I said, you had Johnny Alito, you had Andrew, the Karate Andrew, who was a Gambino guy, and Louis Riccio, but these guys were all friends, and Andrew was a legitimate tough guy with his hands. A little different than Johnny Alito and these guys. Johnny was a big guy, but he wasn't no tough guy with his hands or anything like that. But just a big individual that decided on cooperating right out the gate. And, you know, and when you look at some of these guys taking over an industry and getting filthy rich after somebody in that life, how is anybody else that's an outsider going to respect the Genovese family or anybody else when they see this? So when you see this, you got guys talking about, you know, different people, and but yet they're not taking care of it in their own house, in their own backyard. So you're not going to get kids and different members that know anything about this life going to respect them.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Like you said, John, sorry, it would be infuriating to watch your whole business enterprise that you work so hard for, illegal or otherwise, just be taken away from you. That's crazy.
Well, that's why, you know, when we talk about, you know, guys like I just brought up, Joey Stabile, his uncle was Anthony Stabile from the movie Goodfellas who got killed with Jimmy Burke and, you know, Tommy DeSimone and these guys. These guys are one after another are either killed or put in jail for life, losing everything they have, and nobody standing up and feeding their families. And the whole premise of the mafia is loyalty. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. And so, you know, when people are glorifying it on different podcasts, TV shows, movies, I do the opposite. I try to be a realist and tell people the truth of what's going on here. You have guys like Joey Stabile that got killed by his friend Joe O'Kane, who sets him up. And Joe O'Kane was his good buddy. He's eating dinner at his house. He's staying with his brother Jerome. He knew the Stabile since he's a kid. He lived a couple blocks away. And that's the real reality of that life. It's just treachery, sneak. Joey never did nothing. He was a good friend of Joe O'Kane. So, and then Joe O'Kane gets with justice in a different way and gets killed in prison, in Kane prison. So this is the truth of that life. These guys all grew up with me. I know these guys all since they're kids, along with my so-called cousins. One got shot in the face by an off-duty cop for harassing the cop. And the other one, you know, I shot him up. And, you know, he was involved with the union and got a little big for his, I guess, and didn't understand our life. And, you know, this is what goes on in our life. You get killed, you shoot guys, and it's the strong survive.
Anthony, I also read that Angelo killed his cousin. Is that true?
Angelo Prisco?
Yes.
I don't know if it was his cousin. I know he had murders that he pled guilty to. Cousin, but just one point I make, what John said, you know, you're in prison for and they're doing these type of things and you're a dangerous killer, which is what you had to be, the mafia around them, you know, in that you're fuming it, and like John, you're fuming in there, you're sitting there seeing you're getting disrespected, taking part of your, you know, money making schemes you built up with. And so when you get position, they're putting you in a position where as a killer going to come out looking to kill you. And so other thing that, oh, now you're in a position where you coming, you're going to spend family. Yeah, that's what your family being around your kids. The way they put it, yes, you do want, you also want to blow their brains out for the way they disrespected you while you were doing their prison.
Well, this is the problem. He ends up dying as a sucker, like a clown. They made a clown of him as a sucker. So he did what people say, oh, he did the right thing, right? You're talking about other street guys that talking nonsense. Oh, he did the right thing. He died like a man and this and that. You can say all that you want. You made a clown of the guy. You made a sucker of the guy. You abused his family that were on the street. You didn't help him. And then if the guy would have did something different that he did and he would have came in and cooperated against his family, they would have called him a rat. But in reality, anybody with a half a brain would have said, they're the rats. They didn't take care of the guy that was loyal to that, to this thing. He was loyal to what we call, right, the mob, Cosa Nostra. He was loyal to his position. He went to jail like a man, and he got abused for it. So you got guys that are looking at this from other crews, and they say, oh, you made a sucker, this guy. They're a little more intelligent. They say, when, if I had the opportunity, then I'm going to talk against my guys. I'm sitting here for years, and no one's doing the right thing. No one's feeding my family. Nobody's helping my kids. Nobody's they're taking my money. Not only are they abusing me, they're even taking my money, my hard earned, my businesses, the sweat I did. So this is the problem of the reality of prison, the reality of the mob, the reality of the abuse, and why guys flip that, you know, ordinarily would have just did the time like Angelo did. But Angelo was a very unhappy guy on his way out when he was dying because of the way he was treated.
Yeah, yep. And I just want to touch on that killing the cousin thing, because I know you've been involved in some other things as well. Where is the internal moral compass? How does the mob brainwash people so much that they're just oblivious to what they know is right and wrong on the inside?
Well, I don't know the circumstances behind him killing his cousin. The circumstances of me shooting mine was he was betraying me for money. He was betraying me. I'm the guy that raised him in the scalp business of tickets for concerts. I'm the guy that gave him his money for a drug business. I'm the guy that gave him the loan shark money. I'm the guy that put him in an after hours. I'm the guy that put him in a machine business. Mm-hmm. And when I went to jail, he did what most people did. He tried to get close with other gangsters and in the unions, and he got a little big for his pants. And when I came home, he thought he was going to get protection from different bosses, some from the Genovese family, because he was involved with a union, bread union, and some from my family, from the Gambino family. And he was mistaken, because you have guys like just like me that I said, well, I don't care who's protecting you. You're around me for you till you're dead. That's that way the life works. I don't go to prison and you get transferred over to somebody else and divorce me. That doesn't happen. Yeah. So once he did that, I gave him his warnings. He didn't take them. He didn't heed the warnings. And, you know, he gets shot up. And, you know, unfortunately, he walks around with one leg, but he's got his life. He almost died. He was operated several times. But this is what happens in that mob world, the treachery of maybe Angelo's cousin got what he deserved. Maybe he didn't. Maybe Angelo was treacherous and he was abusing his cousin. Each situation. But I'll tell you one thing, in the mob, it doesn't matter if it's his brother or cousin or anyone else. They kill each other, their own brothers. They set them up. They rat like Patsy Conti's brother gave him up in the Gambino family. And you have, you know, people that are killing each other, families and brothers in Philadelphia killed each other, one around Joey Molino, and the other guy was on the other faction. They shot each other, killed each other. They shot each other and tried to kill each other, and one of them did end up getting killed. So this is what goes on in that world, is money is the evil. It's the power. And it's, you know, they want, you know, guys are hoping certain guys go to prison so they could step in their position. They're not looking out from like it, you know, people. This is not the movies. You know, they're setting them up. They're almost arranging. And you want to talk. That's why I say the same. These guys, on the other hand, are the ones that are the rats. You know, it's just not a, it's not a good life. And I try to tell the kids the treachery. They just don't understand yet. They're too young.
Well, and you both grew up, you know, just kind of surrounded by all this. So, you know, Anthony and Jen, was there ever a point in your teen years where you thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't baseball bat somebody or shoot somebody? I mean, you know, what's going on in your head? Does the mob brainwash you that much, or you just don't know any better because that's how you're brought up in that area?
I think, and Anthony can answer, I think we don't understand at that point. We believe in it so much. We're too young to understand the treachery and the maneuvering and the Machiavelli stuff. And we wanna perform. So the more we perform, the higher ranking you get and more trust. So we wanna perform. And then Anthony, you know, because you went on your own hits too. You wanted to do it, right, Ant?
Well, you know, growing up, again, we're growing up in an era where the mob was as big. So,
right. So, you know, when we were growing up, you know, in that lifestyle, it was always, we heard rumors that our friends, fathers, or somebody that got killed in the mob, it was always the closest ones to them that end up killing you. So that's something that we knew at a young age. And we used to joke amongst ourselves that we're little gangsters growing up at, you know, one day we might have to kill each other. And one of my friends would say, yeah, I could never do that. And we would joke, well, you can never become a made guy. And, you know, it was just something that we would, you know, kid around. But eventually it got to that level. Me personally, killing, you can actually say I pled guilty to killing a cousin. We referred to us as a cousin, the boss of my area, he referred to me as his cousin on my mother's side. And friends growing up my whole life, I pled guilty to conspiracy to murder them. And it's not about being brainwashed. I think once you get in too deep in that life, you're in too deep. And John will tell you this. If once you get given, you know, especially, you know, John was just like a made guy. Even though he wasn't formally inducted, it's the same thing. I was formally inducted. And so when we get orders, we have to, if we get an order to kill, if I get an order to kill one of my friends and I don't do it, I'm liable and I'm probably going to get killed. They're not going to let me walk around the streets without, especially when they told me that I had to murder an individual and I knew about it and I can't say no. Once those words came out of their mouth. So when it gets to that level, you're playing a very serious, it's not a game. It's a level like people, you know, don't understand, but that's the level it gets to. And a lot of times you don't really want it to happen, but you know, if you warn the person or try to not participate, you're a dead man. And that's how it was all the way up when I participated in the mob up until 2010, I was involved in, but especially back in the 90s, early 2000s. I got ordered to kill in 2003 several times. And if I said no, I would be dead. In fact, there was a proposed member in my area that was also asked to participate in the murder and did refuse. And he was going to be marked for death. It just, he got lucky because of the circumstances that happened. People got indicted. People got taken off the streets. And so he got lucky that way. And that's pretty much when the killings started afterwards. You know, that's when they stopped murdering in later in the 2000s. So yeah, I just think it's not something that, even when you're doing it, it's not like you're happy. I mean, if somebody you hated and it was a revenge type of murder, like somebody did something to you personally and you went and killed them, yeah, you could say that, you know, you did it and you were, not happy about it, but it was something that it wouldn't bother you. But yeah, if it was somebody that you didn't want to kill, you still have to do it. You can't.
There's ways to try to avoid being a guy doing a hit, and there's ways to bring yourself in a hit. And somebody you don't like you said, if you got no qualms with it and you're already involved in things like that, that's like an everyday, you know, it sounds cold and callous, but that's what we would for our living. So if Anthony per se didn't like somebody and he did something wrong and he says, hey buddy, can you take a ride with me? I want to grab this guy. You don't avoid it because that's what we did for a living. You say, all right, I'll take a ride with you. But if you like the guy, you'll try to avoid Anthony a little bit, knowing that he's going to probably try to hit this guy now. Right. So there's ways. And you got guys like Mikey Scars, right? I use Mikey Scars. Nice guy. You know, Mikey Scars was a captain. and not a tough guy, knows the life, was more of a concierge kind of advisor to Junior Gotti and things like that. Knows the life without a doubt, intelligent without a doubt. But he's not a hitter. He doesn't like, you know, he's not a killer. He didn't kill. And they asked him to hit a couple of guys, Sammy being one of them. And Michael didn't want to do it. He got shelved for it. You know, I don't know how many people know that, but he got shelved because he didn't want to hit certain guys. Now, guys will call him names and say, oh, he's a punk. He's just not really, because he doesn't come off like a killer. He doesn't want to be a killer. He comes off as more of a guy that can run construction and intelligent and go to meetings, go to sit downs, negotiate deals. And that's who he is. And that's fine, because he doesn't come off like he's a street tough guy thug. And that's, and to me, that's fine. It's the guys, Anthony, that come off as killers and they're full of shit. And they're just,
yeah,
that's, you know, that's why you don't respect them, because they come off that way.
And also, yeah, it's like a famous line is that famous line, kill or be killed. And yeah, you can go back to that. That's really what it is. Because John, if it was us and the shoe was on the other foot, they would kill us. We wouldn't be 100%.
Here today. 100%.
That's exactly what I was thinking when you said that. That's exactly what it is. And Anthony, we were talking before too, and I was telling you how, you know, we taught our kids, don't ever get yourself into something you can't get out of. And, you know, that's what you just said, is you get in so deep that.
And it happens gradually. You don't realize how it happens. Like, you know, you're growing up, you're making money on the streets, you're getting noticed. New York is different. It was a lot. There was five families there. New Jersey was right there. There was a lot more active and associates, made guys with all those families right there. But there was still a lot in our area, in Connecticut, Massachusetts. There was still a lot in the 90s throughout up until 2000s. So, you know, it just gradually comes to you. You start making money on the streets. You're living a good life. You're driving nice cars. You got the beautiful woman. You're going on vacation, you know, you're just living the life. And then little by little, you know, the guy asked you to be around in his crew. And then, you know, we always were violent growing up. So that's nothing, you know, give a guy a beating, sure. That's like, you know, saying, let's go have dinner. You know, it's nothing. And then it just keeps creeping up until that day comes and says, you know, we're going to kill a guy. And that's when everything changes. You know, the beatings, you can, you know, you're not going to go, you know, prison for a long time. Once the bodies start dropping, that's when the life and that life changes, your life changes. And, you know, it's, you're dealing with, potential life sentences. Now people, cooperate more when they're dealing on that level. And, but it just gradually happens as you're involved. Like, you know, especially with me getting made, I went from, you know, having the greatest life prior to that. I always say getting made was the worst thing that happened to me. If I could just avoid joining the mob and been an associate and just making money on the streets and not participating in the violence, I would have chose that. But it's easier said than done. You know, it's just those two didn't exist back then. Exists now, but it not back then.
But Anthony, for you, for the people that don't know, that are listening, we're assuming everybody knows, when you got made, they put you on a hit to kill a guy, and they brought you guys to back and forth pass messages that you knew it was no good. And he was cooperating. He was an informant undercover, and he was going into Anthony, and they're asking him to hit a guy, and he ends up hitting the guy and being charged with that murder because he got involved with informants that were passing him messages back and forth for a murder. If he's not a made guy, you're not in that situation. You don't have to hit them. You don't have to be involved in it. So you had a good life until they expose you the way they did.
Right.
And for people that don't realize, when you turn down a murder, like we were talking about earlier, and Anthony's my friend, my boss might say to me, hey, go get Anthony. Anthony doesn't think anything's wrong with it. He turned down a murder. He's, you know, maybe a little paranoid for a couple of days. It's okay. But you're walking him in every day. And I go, let's go to dinner tonight. Me, you and him go to dinner. We drop you off, and then I set him up, and we shoot him in the back of the head. It's that simple. It's not like anybody thinks. So he's with us every day. We don't tip our mitt, and he gets killed that easy. And it's not like you got to go gun him down in the street. He's on your lap. You kill him anytime you feel like it. You know, you can bring him anywhere you want, in the car, in a house, in the woods, and he has no idea it's coming. And that's the treachery about the life, because it happens every day that way.
Well, that's the stress level.
Real quick. Excuse me, real quick with that level. That's another thing we could talk about on another show for hours is the treachery when it comes to, you know, they talk about people becoming informants and, but you don't realize you're amongst the informants. The informants are your, they could be the actual bosses of the family. You know, they didn't rise to that level and become a boss of a powerful family like that without some sort of law enforcement connections, whether they're FBI, political or whatever. And they use them to, and they weaponize them against, you know, they use them for the family, but then they weaponize them against their enemies. And if you're part of that, in that mix, and we can go over examples, you know, Scarpa and Whitey Bulger, and there's so many other ones.
Albert Anastasia, that, you know, talks about Albert Anastasia walked Lepke in right after Reel's a murder. Well, they said he fell out the hotel window, but, you know, Lepke was on a run for years. And Albert Anastasia made a deal to walk him into the FBI. And, you know, the guy was, you know, so that's his best friend. That's murder rank. This, he's a rat by standards. Yeah. How do you change that? You know, it's okay because it's him that is walking in because he brought too much heat to them, Lepke.
Right.
You know, when people walk in and talking naive, they don't really know the history.
It reminds me of the original Dallas TV show with J.R. Ewing back in the day. I think they remade it now. But it was basically like the comparison would be J.R. Ewing would be the mob, because to me, you were just better off if J.R. Ewing never knew who you were ever, good, bad, because it was never going to end well, no matter what relationship you had with him business-wise. Yeah, it sounds like a mess.
Right, and you don't have to be Italian to be an organized criminal. Those guys, like you said, in Texas and all those are organized criminals. It's just they're not part of the mafia. They're not part of a criminal organization, but they're still organized criminals. When they took over the garbage industry, where do you think they came from? They came from Texas. They wiped the Italians out. And next thing you know, these big companies from Texas took over the whole garbage industry back in the 90s with BFI and all those major ones. And that was all organized criminals. They were worse than the Italians after they took it over, as far as gouging the prices and manipulating the prices on the garbage.
Listen, it's just a treacherous life. You could talk about the Gemini Lounge with Roy DeMeo and Testa and these guys and Anthony Senta. And, you know, when Gadgey goes to jail, everybody's petrified of Roy DeMeo. And he gets a case with Paul Castellano, and Paul tells these guys, Testa and Anthony Senta, you're going to get a pass. We won't try to kill you if you hit Roy DeMeo. So, you know, this is what goes on. They get a pass and Roy DeMeo gets hit. I mean, these guys go to jail for life, but at the time, they don't know that. And, you know, it's just that treacherous. They're all friends. They kill them together, hanging out together, and they turn on each other on a dime, because that's that life. So,
well, I know in your book, Mafia International, you talk about, you know, waking up, sweating, you know, because of all the stuff you have going on in your head, the stress level has to just be off the charts all the time. I mean, how do you can't even trust your best friend.
Yeah. You know, real quick, I'll say, if you look back at all the murders that take place in the mob throughout, you know, forever, except those ones that are sensationalized, notorious ones on the street where they leave them for dead, it's always somebody, one of the friends, setting them up, bringing them somewhere, and another friend putting the bullet in his head. That's why the mafia was the most dangerous organization, because the rules that they had, if they called you into a meeting, you're going into a meeting, you have to go, number one. If you don't, you're dead. And then if you do go, you don't know if you're going to be killed there, or, you know, what's going to happen there. And it's always your friends that are your closest friends when they want to get you. If you look at most of the murders, it's always the closest people to them that are putting the bullets in their head.
So how do you two deal with that now? Do you have trust issues? How do you cope with that in your regular life now that you're out of it?
I don't. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, I mean, I don't have no issues with my issues are, like John said this in the past on interviews and things. My issues isn't having trust issues. I mean, as you get older, you get more knowledgeable about relationships with people, and you pick and choose different type of people that are going to help you. Your network is going to, you want your network to grow. So we're not picking killers and thieves and, you know, people in that life were picking a better quality of an individual. But my whole thing, and John mentioned this before, is I'm not worried. My biggest fear is going back and doing something where I end up back in prison. I'm not worried about, you know, somebody coming to me and living that lifestyle. I'm worried about if I ever go that route, not to be part of that life. I'm saying to hurt somebody that's looking to hurt me, and I end up going back to prison. That's the only thing that bothers me with that, as far as that lifestyle.
Well, because you got to, especially now when you're public and you podcast and you got these podcast guys that talk nonsense, and you know, they don't know what this is. I mean, you get mad, it's hard because you get tracked at going back after them because they talk like idiots and dummies because right. They have no clue about this. They wouldn't last 24 hours in that life. They'd walk in and you'd act nice to them. Like now, for example, when someone's talking shitty to us, you'd be nice to them if we still live that life and act like we're friends with them. And then me and Anthony would be friendly, would go on their show, we'd go out with them, and we'd kill them. You know? Yeah. And they would be clueless. They would be like,
right. And if they were about anything, they wouldn't be on a show to begin with.
Yeah.
If we was back in the life, you wouldn't be on here. I wouldn't be on here. No, nobody that was associated with us would be on here. And so these people that do come on, like John said, they're you know, they're not even wannabes. They're just something that's trying to build up
them. You know, they just talk nonsense. And it's okay if they're not the way, if a lot of them act, it's terrible the way they act. And then sometimes your ego gets you trapped yelling at them and back and forth. And then you catch
us.
It's interesting in the comments, because I try to put myself in your shoes, and yeah, I'd be squealing like, and I think 99.9% of the people would be doing the same thing. It's like, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be in prison. Well, because that's not, you know, listening to your son the other day, you know, calling from prison, that's not, you know, just this cushy life where you're just in your cell and watching TV or whatever. You know, you've got drama and stress going on in there as well. Yeah. You know, I would be giving up every name
well,
as
the thing
fast
is-
as possible.
You got to learn to, you know, especially as you get older, to stay with gentlemen. Not because Anthony's on the show. Everybody knows that we're good friends. And, you know, he's a gentleman. He had those positions. He knows what that world's about. So you're talking with, you know, with knowledge. Not only knowledge, he was one of the bosses there. So he's not just some regular guy. And it's hard to let people talk down to you now, because we're used to a different way to control it. And then you learn, and you just got to kind of shrug it off and say to themselves, these guys are complete assholes, jerk-offs, children, whatever word you want to use, naive, and just separate yourself. Separate yourself and do positive things now compared to the old life. So, you know, you learn to be able to, like we did before, you control your emotions to be able to handle it without anybody realizing what you're going to do. Now it's a little different world, because you live in a real society where people talk like this. They're disrespectful. We're used to the street where, you know, there's consequences when you disrespect somebody, but that's not the day anymore. It's a different era.
Yeah. So you must have been good at playing poker, because you would have to have a poker face all the time. If you're going to dinner with somebody and you're going to kill them later.
That's
got to be just a weird vibe in your own body, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're sitting next to somebody, you know, that you're going to take their life, and you know, the order was given. Yeah, that's not, you know, that's nothing to be proud of or whatever, but that's the life, you know?
Well, I'm glad you're both out of it.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, getting back to what you said, what John was saying is, you know, you defeat them with success. You know, my thing is, I want to wake up in the morning and see how much money I can make, what opportunity is out there, what I can get involved in legitimately to make money. And when you focus on that and positive things, like John said, this stuff is, you know, nothing, you know, it's the people that have nothing to do that come on there and board and, you know, live off Social Security, whatever they do, is the, the bad actors in that, what you could say is that in that genre. And if it wasn't for guys like myself and John and like, you know, maybe a dozen other guys, there would be no guys doing content on the mob.
Yeah.
And that's, John and I talk about that too, is, you know, you need to do your thing and just keep moving forward and don't look back, you know. Easier said than done, though, but.
Well, I think that you every day you wake up, you want to be respected in society. And if you act like a clown, an idiot, then you're not going to have that respect from the people that really matter. So when we talk about, and we do this talk all the time about, I'm pro-police, pro-America, pro-veterans, and people want to say that whatever they want to say, let them say it, who cares? But the 99% of the world wants to live a good life, and they don't talk like children. So when I see Antifa attacking the police in Atlanta, I write and I say, and I'm boisterous about, if they're going to slap them, the police have to be aggressive back. So this stops, because they should be charged with terrorism. They should be charged with a RICO case, because they're organizing for violence. They're not organizing for peaceful protests. They're coming from guys like George Soros. It's putting a group together. He should actually, and that's how you should stop it. I don't know why, besides the corruption that's going on with all our three letters in this country now, why they're not going over after George Soros that's instigating this violence in our streets, besides the corruption within our own government. And we all know it's there. We know there's corruption in the medical field now, where there's no trust, and we're losing the country. And this has nothing to do with it. Again, if you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're independent, we should all be in agreement. I talk very highly of Bill Maher on a regular basis, because he's a Democrat, but he's a middle of the road. He says, I'm not for all this violence. I'm not, he doesn't agree with the science that's going on, obviously. Anybody, unless they're an imbecile, they're out there covering their face on a regular basis. So if you believe in what you did, then why are you covering your face like that? And I mean, we could go on and that stuff, but you know, there's a lot of Americans that love this country that are Democrats, Republicans, and independents. It's just be true to the freedom of this country. We should be able to debate it.
Right. And for Bill Maher to be able to come out and say the things that he's saying, I think is admirable, because some people just can't admit when they're wrong.
And he's been coming out like that for the past, I would say, couple years now. He's been
edging a little more. He's a very intelligent guy, and he knows if he sits back and lets this continue, he's complacent also in the ruination of our country. And that's exactly what's happening. The country is being destroyed. When you can't go out on the street, women, kids, and you got to worry about them getting attacked and killed, and you're worried about our police forces being attacked like this. To me, it's an agenda. They want the police to quit. They don't want them to be hired. I think they want to bring in military police like they do in every communist regime, whether it's Cuba where I live, whether it's Venezuela where I live, or whether it's Albania where my country used to be communist. We understand the agenda. So if you can break down the police forces, and then they need to bring in the military. And I think that's really what they're trying to do overall. And that's why they don't care that they can't bring in the police, because they're trying to destroy it. This is their way of destroying it. Have them being attacked on a constant basis, have them being killed on a constant basis, have them being dehumanized on a constant basis. And from a police officer at this point, their lives are in danger 24/7 because they're being ambushed constantly. Over 100 ambushes of police officers now, and about 70 of them have been murdered. And I would ask the government officials that don't stand by them, you put on the uniform. I'll say it again, defund the politicians, not the police.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, so I, you know, it was great having you on the show, Anthony. Like to have
Thanks
you back,
for having me.
Obviously, constantly. And, you know, you're, for the guys that don't know you, friend or no friend, you're a good guy and gentleman, and you carry yourself well before, and now you got to change life. So I always got a lot of respect for you. And, you know, it's great to keep having you on anytime you like.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, John, too. I appreciate it. You too, Katie. It was good seeing you as well.
Yeah.
Good talking to you guys.
People that want to follow us and hit the subscribe button. Ask questions that you want. We could push them over to Anthony if you want. Follow me on John Elite on Instagram, johnelite.com on my website. And you could get in touch with Anthony where?
On the Instagram is my name, Anthony Arelata, Instagram and Facebook. And I also have a little channel I'm doing on the YouTube, Money Mayhem and the Mafia. So I put out like 4 episodes of it. And, you know, I just, it's work. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of work involved with this. And I never was one to like to work, you know, I so I'm trying to figure that out going forward. But yeah, it's called Money Mayhem and the Mafia. And it's, you know, it's content mostly about the Massachusetts and Connecticut organized crime, mostly Genovese family, patriarchal family, and then also through New York, obviously, and, you know, and Florida.
Katie, where do we find you again?
Yep, Dancing Publisher on Instagram or on your Instagram. My email, Diamond Publishing, is listed there. If somebody wants to contact me that way, they'd get in touch with you. And also, I just want to say, coming in March, we've got the John A. Light Fentanyl Project coming up. Exciting things happening with that, but we're going to need your help to take this across the country. So watch out for that, and we're all going to work together on this.
I put this up earlier, and as always, everything I do is a memory of my daughter, Chelsea.
Yes, yeah. God bless her.
When God made daughters, he was given, I was given one of the best, so... and everybody, thank you for watching us, and God bless you. Stay safe. God bless America.
Okay. Thank you. Bye, Anthony.
Okay. Bye-bye. See you guys. Bye.